In our Catholic faith, we hear the word glory a lot of times. We sang the Gloria this morning, and five times in the first two sentences of the gospel, we hear either the word glory or glorified. The word glory means honor or praise, great beauty, magnificence, or exaltation. And to glorify is therefore to give those things to someone. And in our Catholic faith, we believe that, number one, glory should be given to God. But the thing we often also don't realize or leave out is that we are to be glorified as well as followers of Jesus Christ, co-heirs, as the New Mass translation puts it, co-heirs in his kingdom. But this glory cannot just be an academic understanding for you. It can't just be objective or only out there. It has to be moved into you from the head to the heart, if you will. And so the question I would present to you today is also, what does glory mean for you? To understand glory, we first should look at what Jesus means about it in the gospel today. First of all, he says that now is the Son of Man glorified. What is Jesus referring to when he says now? Well, you have to put yourself in the context. He's at the Last Supper, and he's getting ready to enter into his passion. And so, and it's kind of mysterious to think about God being glorified when he's getting ready to suffer. And there's two key elements in that glory that are important to understand. First, he's just finished celebrating the Eucharist. And so God is glorified when we do this in remembrance of him, when we offer to the Heavenly Father this Eucharist, which is, through time, the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's what we sometimes don't understand. It's not just a memorial. It's not just a remembrance. We are offering Jesus Christ to the Father through time, not once again, but through time, as he offered himself that one time forever for all of us on Calvary. And so God is glorified in that, that Jesus accomplished what he came to do, and that's to save us. And it's celebrated right here. But he is also glorified in his passion and death. And that's a little bit harder to really, I think, comprehend. It says Jesus also said in the gospel, God is glorified in him. How is God glorified? When you look up at that bloodied cross, how can you think of beauty or magnificence, right? How can you think of exaltation? Brian Chappell tells this story that happened in his hometown growing up. Two brothers were playing on the sandbanks of a river, and one ran after the other on top of a large mound of sand. But unfortunately, that mound was not solid, and the weight of the two boys caused them to begin to sink quickly. When the boys did not return home from dinner, the family and the neighbors organized a search. And they found the younger brother unconscious, with his head and shoulders sticking out of the sand. When they cleared the sand down to his waist, he awoke, and the searchers asked him, "Where is your brother?" The child replied, "I am standing on his shoulders." True story. With the sacrifice of his own life, the older brother lifted the younger brother to safety, and the tangible and sacrificial love of the older brother literally served as a foundation for the younger brother's life. Now, when you hear it that way, the same sacrifice Jesus made for us, that's beautiful. That's magnificent. That's worth exaltation. God is glorified when we do the same. And that is giving self-sacrificial love for the sake of another's salvation. It's not enough to just suffer in this life. Everybody does that. It's suffering for the sake of another's salvation that becomes so life-giving for us and glorifies God. In the scriptures, Jesus says that where he is going, we also will be someday, and that he wants us to be glorified. But you know, when I think about that, I almost want to shrink away from the idea, because I think, why would I want to be glorified? Why would I want to be honored? Aren't I supposed to be humble as a Christian? But it's not the glory of this world. One of my favorite Christian bands is a band called Casting Crowns. I know some of you listen to them. And they derive their name of their band from Revelation 4, which says this: whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to the one who sits on the throne, that's Jesus, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before the one who sits on the throne and worship him, who lives forever and ever. They throw down their crowns before the throne, exclaiming, "Worthy are you, Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. Because of your will they came to be and were created." Brothers and sisters, God will give you crowns in this life, honors, abilities, things to be proud of, and rightly so. But are we willing to cast down those crowns at his throne? Not throwing away the good things God has given us, but humbling ourselves by saying, "Lord, I put my crown at the service of your throne." This is the essence of stewardship, isn't it? That we take anything God has given us, even when we don't recognize it, and we put it at his service, all that we are. Our glory comes, number one, through great humility. And secondly, our glory comes through obedience. In the 11th century, King Henry III of Bavaria had grown very tired with court life and the weight and the pressures of being a monarch. And so he decided that he wanted to enter a monastery. And so he sent an application, a letter of application, to Prior Richard, who was the prior of the local monastery, asking to be accepted into the contemplative life and to spend the rest of his life in a monastery. When he arrived, Prior Richard said this: "Your Majesty, do you understand that the pledge here is one of obedience? That will be hard, because you have been a king." "I understand," said King Henry. "The rest of my life I will be obedient to you as Christ leads you." "Then I will tell you what to do," said Prior Richard. "Go back to your throne and serve faithfully in the place where God has put you." When King Henry died, a statement was written about him: "The king learned to rule by being obedient." Ironic, isn't it? And the same is true for you and I, that we learn to rule with God, to be co-heirs with him, to be kings and queens with God in heaven through obedience. And like King Richard, even obedience when it's something that we don't want to do or that humbles us, we can only come to rule with God through obedience to God. And I'm sure there are many other virtues that we could say are very helpful for us to be glorified. But these two, obedience and humility, are so very important. And in our world that says to be great, you have to do something wonderful or be honored by society or to wear a crown and have others cast their crowns before you, we as Christians say no. We cast our crowns before someone else. I believe Father Bernard Gorgias of our own diocese summed it up well when he said, quote, "Giving glory to God is when he looks at you and sees a reflection of himself," end quote. Perhaps that's reflecting humility, perhaps obedience, or perhaps simply coming to celebrate this Eucharist day today, to offer to our Heavenly Father the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross It was St. Thomas Aquinas who said, the proper effect of the Eucharist is the transformation of man into God. If you want to glorify God, remember first that He has come to glorify you. But that glorification comes by casting our crowns before Him, by being humble and obedient.